moving the American dream south. We're going to talk about that from Guatemala on today's Hot Zone.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
So we just got to this tiny mountain village up here in the mountains of Guatemala. And Carlos,
yeah,
our Guatemalan fixer, what's the name of this town again?
This town is named Yalambojoch.
Yalambojoch.
It's located in the province of Nentong in the department of Huehuetenango.
Huehuetenango. So we're way in the northern part of Guatemala.
Yes.
And very safe, tranquil, peaceful valley here. Look at these beautiful kids.
Hola, muchachos. ¿Cómo estamos? Do they use the word peladito here?
No, patojo chavito.
Chavito. They're playing marbles.
Remix.
What? Where's your iPhone? Where's your iPhone? Why aren't you playing video games right now? What's wrong with you kids, huh? And the people here speak a dialect of some ancient language called Chuuk, and nothing like Spanish, I'll tell you that. And so the reason I'm here in this village is because it's basically a ghost town. It had, I believe, upwards of 1,500, maybe 2,000 people at one time. Last night I met with the mayor of the town, and he told me that the town today is looking at maybe 200 people.
Más o menos unos, aquí en la aldea, más o menos unos 200.
¿En cuál porcentaje del población?
Casi la mayoría está ahí.
La mayoría quedó.
Se fue.
They're down to maybe 200 people. So we wanted to know why. And as it turns out, the reason for this town, you know, declining like that doesn't have to do with gentrification. It doesn't have to do with anything except for migration. Almost the entire town has migrated to the United States, and especially the men. So as I've been walking around the town today, I've seen almost exclusively women and children that are here. They say there's only maybe 150 people left, 200 people left in the town right now. The men that I've seen are either kind of infirm, very drunk maybe. I saw one really drunk guy. And or they're working on construction. And that's the other kind of interesting thing about this town. It's a desperately poor town, and that's one of the reasons that's cited for the people going to the United States. But there's new construction popping up all over the place, and the houses are being built, and these are big houses. I'm going to show you some of these houses. They're being built with remittances, money that's being sent back from the United States. So I'm going to show you a little bit, just as I walk around the village, I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Right now, I want you to hear a little bit from my friend that I'm here with, Todd Benzman, talking about what's going on in this village.
Sure. Well, what all of us know from the media repeatedly, especially over the last couple of years, is that the reason that Guatemalans and other Central Americans are leaving their homes and going to the United States is because they're under dire threat from gangs and criminal elements and violence and government persecution and those sorts of things. And so, you know, we must feel sympathy for them because, you know, they have to live and they want to come to the United States. This is an indigenous Mayan village. Most of the people have lived here for generation after generation. Typically, they live in huts that are made out of mud. Often it's lumber, concrete floors in some of the places, dirt in others. These are very primitive dwellings and not modern. There are very few modern conveniences attached to them. But what's happening now is that people are building these, you know, fantastic, beautiful, modern houses with tile, concrete, electricity, window flourishes, brass, that sort of thing, and indoor plumbing. And that has spurred an immigration to the United States so that they also can have a home like their neighbors. What we found here is almost zero crime. Nobody gets hurt. There's no gang problem. Nobody can possibly argue that there is a threat to life and limb in this town. First of all, it's too geographically remote. Second of all, they do community policing here and wrap up any kind of problem pretty quickly. So it's a very peaceful place. The people who die here die of old age in bed. So you can't argue that people are fleeing this place. But what you can say is that people are leaving this place to keep up with the Joneses, with their houses, with their housing. And we have been told that repeatedly by the people who are actually building the houses.
So there are three churches in this village. This one's the Catholic Church. And obviously, attendance is way down because there's nobody here. Like I said, it's almost surreal walking around this town because it is inhabited, but it should have several thousand people in it. And there are just very few people. There's a drunk guy down there stumbling down the road. It's like I've been here for 12 hours and I feel like I know everybody in town already. This is the main square. Hey, there's a couple more buddies. Hola, ¿cómo estás? Mira, ¿qué tiene? Caña real.
Hecho en México.
Hecho en México, que es licor de caña.
Sí.
Oh, ¿fuerte?
Domínguez Chiapas.
Está fuerte.
Ah, sí.
Oh, wow. ¿Pero dulce o no?
No.
Hecho de azúcar, pero...
Es algo dulce.
¿Es algo dulce?
Oh.
No, porque muy temprano. En la tarde, sí. En la tarde. Anyway, this is the... So there's a couple of the drunk guys. This is the... Está adentro. Okay. This is the city hall of the town. And it's locked. No hay. No, está bien, voy a regresar. ¿Y qué es esto? Mira, muéstrame eso.
¿Cuál?
Ese. Ese es para... ¿Así?
Así son cuernos de ganados.
¿Por qué? Hola. ¿Por qué ahí?
Es para llamar que si no estaba uno de autoridad por acá.
Ajá. Uh-huh. Para llamar a uno.
Para llamarlo si hay alguien que quería aquí en la auxiliatura.
So these cow horns are for calling somebody to this building if there's nobody around. This is one of the mayors. Usted es alcalde.
Yo soy primer policía.
Primer policía. Uh-huh. Okay, so he's like the neighborhood watch captain. Mm-hmm. Mucho gusto. Sí, gracias. So that guy's like the neighborhood watch captain. And I've already met all three of those people in the last 12 hours. Like I said, I feel like I know everybody in town already. It's very foggy here. We're up pretty high. It was super cold here last night and just kind of rainy this morning. But this is really interesting just walking around this town. And kind of there's empty houses everywhere. Some of them have fencing like this right here all the way around the house, you know, just kind of boarded up. But most of them have at least like a family member or somebody that's watching them, taking care of them, right? So Here's some of the construction that we're seeing right now. It's a big house, huh? There's Todd and Carlos are up there interviewing the guy that's building the house. But look at this house. I mean, this house right here is probably 3,000 square feet. And this house over here is probably 2,500 square feet. This is one family that's building these things. He said that this 2,500 square foot house is going to cost about $37,000 to build. And of course, they're doing the family itself is doing virtually everything. They're doing all the labor. It's not like they're hiring that out to somebody. But he said they've been working on this house for a couple of months, and every time they finish one floor, they have to let it sit for a while so it'll dry. Here's a little girl. She's working. ¿Tú estás trabajando? She's working here. She's roasting coffee. Mucho humo. Lots of smoke. Isn't she cute? Oh, she's precious. Look at that little one. That's great. So there's a lot of coffee in this area. And I'm going to take a picture of this little girl. She's too cute not to. This is the town jail behind me. It's just got wooden bars and a big old lock on the door. Well, I guess every town's got to have one of those. There's a big old picnic table right here. And looks like a public water spigot. This is, I talked to a lady back there that said, she said the water for the town is provided by a spring up in the mountain. And so it's free for everybody. She said her electric bill could run maybe about $10 a month. And that's really the only bill they have. That's it. They don't have, other than, of course, groceries and things like that. But they grow most of their food or raise it. And things like sugar, they'd have to buy that. They grow their own coffee even. You see a lot of, like right here, bean plants. These are some kind of beans right here growing. There's some kind of fruit up there I don't really recognize. I'm not sure what that is. I'd like to know. So all around town, there's just little plots of beans or bananas or whatever, plantain, things like that. There's a couple of little kiosks as far as general stores. I talked to one store owner, and she said that they get their product from the next town over, which is not much bigger than this one. So this is not a problem of everybody leaving. It's not a problem that is unique to this town. Lots of the little villages around this area, in this whole region of Guatemala, have seen the same issues. It's the same things. So here is the town store, general store. Hola. Buenas. Hay varios productos que vienen de dónde?
De la capital de Guatemala.
¿Dónde? De Guatemala.
La capital.
El capital. Oh, de Tegucigalpa.
No, Guatemala. Tegucigalpa es Honduras.
Oh, sí, Guatemala City.
Sí. Hola, baby.
Qué precioso. ¿Cuántos meses tiene?
Cuatro meses.
Sí. Wow. ¿Y dónde está su papá?
Aquí.
Aquí mismo.
Sí.
Okay. No salió. So these dudes back here are working hard on the house, getting the concrete put up and the repeo for the adobe. And And I'll show you the old house, what they're moving from. Let's come look over here. So this is the old house. And of course, you build anything out of wood down here, and it's going to have problems over time because of the bugs and the humidity. But, we are, like I said, we're up pretty high. So this is not like tropical or anything like that. This is like cloud forest. Obviously, we're right in the middle of a cloud. And so this family, there's probably, I don't know, maybe 10, 8, 8 people, 9 people in there. But you saw how big those two houses were. I mean, they're building themselves mansions, basically, from money that they're earning in the United States. The guy that's building those two houses, I talked to him, and he says that he's got 4 sons that are in the United States, and they are sending money home every month, buying the little piece of land, building their houses. There's a nice one over here that you can see the contrast between the old house and the new house. There's the old house, and there's the new house over there. So the migration crisis has become an economic boom for these people, but instead of pursuing the American dream in America, they're bringing the American dream back down here. And that brings up another point. This is an incredibly safe town. I've been asking around today, and there has not been a murder in this town since the Civil War ended in 1982. And so there's no crime there. We met the police chief. He's not a police. They don't have police here. They have a neighborhood watch, and that's it. And we met the guy in charge of that. He's probably the most bored guy in town, because there's no crime. We talked to somebody last night who said that if anybody steals anything here or does anything like that, that the whole town just knows who it is. They get together. I mean, if there's only 200 people in this town, obviously you're going to know who did it. And they get together and they throw them out. But there's another really nice house behind me. Again, all of these nice houses are built with remittances. They're built with money sent back from the United States by people who have migrated for economic reasons. That's my point. They're not migrating because they're being persecuted by their government. They're not migrating because they're being threatened by the gangs. There are no gangs here. And so they're migrating for economic reasons. And that means that they don't have an asylum claim. However, there's a loophole that they have found and exploited. The people from this town, like I said, are, descended from an indigenous group that speaks this language called Chuuk. And if you get to the United States and you show up at Border Patrol, your first contact with anybody from the U.S., and you tell them that what happens is they talk to you in Spanish and, arrange an interview for you. So you tell them, I've been persecuted or whatever, and I'm talking with the people who do those interviews. The stories that they get are so ridiculously consistent. Everybody has been beaten by a policeman on the southeast corner of the park in town and called a dirty Indian, something like that. Everybody has the same story. And they do that interview in Spanish, but then when they get it, so then they get passed along to an actual asylum interview. And if you're from this area, and again, you're coming for economic reasons, you can't say, well, I'm just coming to get a better job, because they will deny you asylum. So, and now they've really tightened up the rules for asylum. They've really tightened things up so that Now it's much harder for people to make an asylum claim, where it used to be if you said, yeah, I've been beaten by a police officer, then that would qualify you. Now it may not, because you're not being persecuted by your government per se, right? So, but here's the loophole. These people have figured out that if you tell them that you don't speak Spanish, you only speak Chuuk, well, they just pass you right through. They just wave you on into the country. Because if they don't have a translator who can speak Chuuk, and you can imagine they don't, then you're in. That's it. You're in. So even though they conducted their first contact with the Border Patrol agent in Spanish, when they get to their asylum interview, all they have to do is claim they don't speak Spanish, and they're in. They're waved into the United States, and they can stay there pending an asylum hearing, which might be between months and years away. So obviously they're taking advantage of the system. And look, despite the fact that these people lived here in this village and were poor, and you feel for poor people, you want to help poor people, but despite that, there's a term for what they're doing. It's called fraud. So let's review. The majority of the residents of this town have moved to the United States, entered illegally, making fraudulent asylum claims, getting jobs in the U.S., and they're sending their money back here to build big houses. And so in this town, keeping up with the Joneses means making a perilous trip north and working for a few years and then building your big house and coming back home. However, here's the problem. Well, there's several problems with that. First of all, it's getting much harder to get into the United States. And so several of these guys who have left more recently have found themselves denied at the U.S. Port of Entry, in which case the $10,000 that they borrowed from a, you know, loan shark, essentially a coyote, they now owe, and they don't have any way to make money to pay it back. And so they come back here and they end up in a much worse state than they started. That's not good. The other thing is that it creates this sort of, this sort of expectation. They've lived in the United States maybe for 4 or 5 years. And consequently, they have a different expectation of, the standard of living. And so how long are they going to come back here and be able to stay here, even in this nicer house, without deciding, you know what, I need to go back there and make some more money? And I say that because I already talked to one guy today who said exactly that. He was in the United States. He ended up staying for 12 years and then came back here to care for his ailing mother. But he said, boy, as soon as I can, I'm going to get back to the United States because I can just, you know, I can have a better life. And in their case, a better life means I can make more money. Because think about it. Is it a better life in the United States? Here in this village, there's literally no crime. There's no taxes. You pay no taxes. You have very little in the way of bills. There's no insurance. There's no, you know, water bill. You might have a $6 or $8 a month light bill. The kids are happy running around playing in the street. I have not seen a kid on a smartphone yet since we've been here. Yesterday, I saw some young boys playing marbles in the street. Do you know how long it's been since I've seen anybody play marbles in the United States? I used to play marbles when I was a kid in elementary school, but kids don't play marbles anymore. They play with smartphones. And so that's what I'm talking about. Like, is it really a better life to go to the United States, pay taxes, face the crime, all the complications of American life? Or are they being sold a lie? And that's really what it comes down to. So we're going to talk more about it this week. Thanks for watching The Hot Zone. I'm Chuck Holton. We'll talk to you later.